Take your hymn books, number 5, 9.
The special, Owen and Laura. Y'all get in place, please.
Waking up to a new sunrise, looking back from the other side. I can see now with open eyes, darkest water and deepest pain. I wouldn't trade it for anything, 'cause my brokenness brought me to you, and these wounds are a story you'll use. So I'm thankful for the scars, 'cause without them I wouldn't know your heart, and I know they'll always tell of who you are. So forever standing in confidence, with the strength of your faithfulness. And I'm not who I was before. No, I don't have to fear anymore. So I'm thankful for the scars, 'cause without them I wouldn't know your heart, and I know they'll always tell of who you are. So forever I am thankful for the scars. I can see how you deliver me. In your hands, in your feet, I found my victory. I can see how you deliver me. In your hands, in your feet, I found my victory. I'm thankful for your scars, 'cause without them I wouldn't know your heart. And with my life I'll tell of who you are. So forever I'm thankful for the scars, 'cause without them I wouldn't know your heart, and I know they'll always tell of who you are. So forever I am thankful for the scars. So forever I am thankful for the scars.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Wow. I may still need some adjustment there. The children's church is dismissed. You may go, please. I am thankful for the scars. You know, we're thankful for the scars of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we know what that means to us for salvation. We also should be thankful for the scars of our life. the things that he has brought us through, and sometimes he's brought us to. He has scarred us intentionally to make us what he would have us to be. You think of the potter with the clay, that he may mold it and make it. Would it give thanks? Would it have joy? Count it all joy when we fall into the trials that bring that, knowing that the sufferings of this present life are not worthy to be compared with the glories that shall come upon us. So we have all of this and to be very thankful for. Take your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter 1. We shall get there toward the end of the message. Hang with me. When I think of special services such as we're coming upon here in this next week, whether evangelistic in approach or revivalistic as far as our own hearts, both is what we shoot for and encourage and pray for. There are several things that come to my mind when I think about special meetings such as this. Number one is our responsibility to house the evangelist and his family, to take care of them and their needs. We want to make sure that those things are being taken care of. And then also the promotional aspects of the meetings, the materials, the little flyers, and getting the word out, contacting some other pastors and inviting them and their members when they're not having services of their own. And there's the complementary ministries such as our nursery and children's church that is so beneficial for those parents coming with young children to have those needs met so that they can be in the service and concentrate upon the message themselves. And I love it so much when evangelist comes prepared to do those services for us, at least the children's church part, because it alleviates more of our people to be in the service here and to take part. But there's also the order of service for each one of the services there, the hymns to be picked out, the choir numbers, the special music that would be presented. There's the invitational counselors, the materials, asking some to be ready at the invitation if we need them to deal with some folks. All of those things come to my mind, but one of the greatest, I believe the greatest and most important thing is the aspect of prayer. In prayer, I'm talking about personal prayer of us as individuals. I'm talking about corporate prayer of us as a church whole. I'm talking about both of those, both prior to the meetings and during the meetings. And this type of prayer is vitally important. With that in mind, I want to share with you a message that I prepared probably a month ago. And the Lord started laying this on my mind. I thought, Lord, this would be great right before our revival services here, these special services that we need desperately to be praying for them. Father, I ask right now that you allow me to have the voice I need to be able to speak clearly, that my mind would be clear of explaining exactly what your Holy Spirit has laid upon my heart. I pray that you would help us not to be distracted in any way, but that we listen carefully. Lord, that we would listen prayerfully, asking, could there be something today that you want to touch our heart about in this area of prayer? And we ask it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his glory. Amen. The first question that I have, and I have several of them this morning, is a very simple one, very easy to answer for the most part, and that is prayer all that important? Well, you know the answer immediately, so we move on to the next one, right? But there's a few things I want to answer and want you to know why. Number one, I believe the number reason why prayer is important is it was exemplified by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Have you ever thought about that? If prayer wasn't important, why did Jesus spend so much time in prayer to the Heavenly Father? He would go up on the mountain alone and pray, sometimes an entire night. He would spend much time in prayer, God the Son, to God the Father. Now, if God the Son felt that it was so important to pray to the Father, how much more important it is for me to pray into the Father, to me to access Him. In fact, it was the Lord's prayer life that led His disciples to ask Him and to say, Lord, teach us to pray. And He gave them the model prayer there, what we call the Lord's Prayer, to teach them to pray. Throughout His earthly ministry, the Lord Jesus Christ prayed. And we appreciate that example. But not only is prayer exemplified by the Lord Jesus Christ, but the Apostle Paul, another great minister of the New Testament, got used by God to record the majority of the New Testament. There, God used him as an example, and he prayed quite often. And he challenged us and urged us to pray. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, one of my other favorite verses as a kid, other than Jesus wept, because it only had three words, pray without ceasing. I get him memorized that one easy too. Pray without ceasing. Keep on praying is the idea there. Don't give up on prayer. 1 Timothy 2:8 says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Men, we ought to be praying everywhere. All of us, but men, we're addressed there specifically. Jesus also instructed us and commanded us to pray. In Matthew 7:7, it says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. These are in the present tense verbs here. It means keep on asking, keep on knocking, keep on seeking. We're to keep on praying unto the Lord. Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We're to pray. Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray and not to faint, not to give up. We have a lot of emphasis there is in Scripture that God has given us through the Lord Jesus himself and through the Apostle Paul. His word to us is that we ought to always pray. And I feel like sometimes we would say very quickly that prayer is important. But if someone actually knew how much time we spent in prayer, would that agree with our answer that prayer is important? Second question is, how is desire for spiritual things expressed? How do you express your desire for spiritual things? There are three things at least that I want you to understand. Number one, you can do it by testimony, by telling it to somebody else. You can have a spiritual desire upon your heart. You may share it with a friend. You may share it with a spouse. You may share it with a child or a parent. You may share it with someone else. And that testimony there can illustrate or demonstrate your desire for that spiritual thing to take place. Secondly, by your obedience, you can demonstrate your desire by what you do. What you do can show the importance, can show the priority that you have for a spiritual need, for a spiritual thing. And then thirdly, obviously, by prayer, by asking, by what you talk about, by what you do, and by what you pray for, are spiritual things important to you? Are spiritual things important to you? What do you talk about? What are the things that you do? And what do you pray for? There's nothing wrong with praying for little Avery, for Calvin with his shoulder surgery. There's nothing wrong with praying for people in need, physical needs of those natures. But folks, what about the spiritual things? Our spiritual needs. our walk with the Lord, the church's testimony in the community. Who is the church, by the way? Your testimony as a Christian in the community. Spiritual things, do we pray for those things, or by what we talk about, what we do, and how we pray, is spiritual things and their needs not very important to us? Third question, is prayer hard? Is it hard to pray? Well, I would say, first of all, no. Prayer is nothing but just talking to God. How many of you have talked to somebody today? Every hand will go up, okay? Was it hard to talk to them today? I'm not talking about after you got to church and saw that person you don't like. I mean, you know. It's not hard to carry on a conversation with someone. And that's all prayer is our communing with the Lord in a conversation. And so from that standpoint, prayer is not hard. But then on the flip side of that coin, prayer is hard. Because prayer is hindered by Satan. Satan discourages prayer. Have you ever sat down to pray unto the Lord and your eyes get heavy? By the way, if you have a hard time sleeping at night, instead of counting sheep, you might ought to start praying. Satan doesn't like you to pray for spiritual things. And he'd much rather you go on to sleep. But sometimes he makes the eyes heavy. Sometimes he'll make our minds wander. It's hard to concentrate. It may be interruptions. Maybe distractions. That's why we talk about our prayer closets. Getting alone, away from distractions, away from interruptions, so that we can concentrate our minds upon what we want to speak to the Lord about. Now, some of you are saying, I don't have any problem with that because my prayer is only about 5-10 seconds. I'm talking about, are you spending any time really with the Lord? I'm not saying, hey, sweet hour of prayer. You know, I spent an hour this morning in prayer. Now, some people may have. That's wonderful. But some people have never known 15 minutes in prayer. Some people struggle with 1 minute in prayer. And the problem is that we're not committed to it because it is hard, especially fervent prayer. In James 5:16, it says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It accomplishes much. The effectual, it has a great effect. The prayer of a righteous man, a person that is right with God and they're standing with the Lord there, their fervent prayer. Now, what is fervent prayer? Well, fervent prayer is, it's fervent. It's energetic. It's enthusiastic. It's intense. And we need to be intense in our desire. If we have a desire, we're going to be intense about it. The things that are a priority to you, the things that are important to you, you're going to have an intense feeling about those things. So what about spiritual things and how we share those things with the Lord? So is prayer hard? No. But yes, for several reasons. Next question, number four. Why is prayer not heard? Why is prayer not answered sometimes? Well, I think there's several reasons, several situations that can contribute to that. Number one could be because it is not God's will. Jesus is the great example of that. You remember at the Last Supper there, after he instituted the Lord's Supper, he says they went out into the Mount of Olives there the night before he was arrested, and he left his disciples, at least nine of them there, and went with James, John, and Peter a little bit further. And he says, to stay here and pray with him. And Jesus went a little bit further and fell on his knees there. He says in Matthew 26:39, he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." In other words, in his humanity, we may say the Lord Jesus Christ struggled with, you know, I know what I'm fixing to face. Is there any other way? Well, he knew there was no other way. And in his deity, he did not look forward to the cross, because what was he about to face? He was going to take upon himself the filth of mankind's sin, a holy God. And is there any way that this, let this cup pass from me, what I've got to experience, but not as my, as I will, but as you will? When we pray, we're to have the same type of mentality that is there. We may have a desire and say, I want, Lord, you to deliver me from this food poisoning. Remove these symptoms from me and give me strength in my body immediately here. That may be a desire. But I don't know what God's will is for how long the symptoms last and for why. There was a lot of work that I needed to do this past week. And some of you, we had to call and say, hey, come into your classrooms and check this thing out. Set up your chairs and stuff, because I can't do it. And I don't know the whys, but it's not my will. It's God's that needs to be done. And when it comes to spiritual things, we have a desire, and we are to be faithful and to pray and expressing those desires in prayer unto the Lord. But we're to pray according to His will, understanding that if it is not His will, then we are to accept what His will is, because He knows what's best ultimately. Even what I think, I know what is best. Secondly, it may not be answered because of known sin in our life. Isaiah 59:2 says, "Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear." He will not hear our prayer when we have sin in our life, known sin that is there. Now, let me say this. God is not obligated to hear any lost person's prayer. Do you understand that? Jesus made the statement there of those that were lost there, the Pharisees and so forth. He said, "You are of your father, the devil." There was no relationship to God the Father there. They were their father, Satan. When the only prayer that God is wanting to answer from a lost person is, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." It's when a lost person turns to Jesus Christ for salvation. That's the prayer that He's wanting to hear when we call upon the name of the Lord. But once we have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, we become born again. Once we are born into the family of God, God becomes our Heavenly Father. And there is a relationship there that we have with Him. And as our Heavenly Father, He will listen and hear and answer in our prayers. Always, except He is not obligated to answer when we know that there is sin in our life and we're not dealing with it, especially if that sin is known by other people. Why would God bless you in that way when you are causing a testimony problem to the name of Jesus Christ by your life? Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face that He will not hear. Known visible sin. There's another verse closely related to that in Psalm 66:18. It says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, pick the difference in this is the word heart. If I regard iniquity in my heart, that means nobody else regards it. Nobody else knows about it. It's secret sin to everybody else, but I know about it. And I haven't dealt with that. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. He will not answer my prayer. Secret sin can keep it. Here in Proverbs chapter 1 that I ask you to turn to, I want us to look there in verse 24 and following where it says, because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, no man listened, no man judged what I had to say as important. But ye have set at naught all my counsel. The word set at naught there means you've neglected my counsel. And you wouldn't have nothing to do with my reproof and my Holy Spirit's prompting in your life. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. He said one of the reasons why he does not answer prayer in some believer's life is because of their indifference toward God and His Word. God has been speaking in His Word in Sunday school and preaching time and youth group and Bible study and all of the opportunities you have to read His Word and hear it preached. God speaks to our hearts, and if we neglect that, if we ignore that, if we do not listen to what He has to say, but are indifferent to what He has to say, God says when your fear comes, when your calamity comes, when you're in desperation and you call out unto me, I'm going to disregard you as well. Wow. What a sad plight as believers if we end up there. But God has just given us a little bit of our own medicine, isn't He? If we're treating Him that way, to understand that He's certainly within me in His right to treat us the same. Indifference to God and His Word can cause a lack of answer. There's one other reason, and I believe this is the big one. If you'll turn with me over to James chapter 4. In James chapter 4, beginning in verse 2 there, the first half of the verse is not what I'm going to look at, but I'll read it there. It says, ye lust and ye have not, ye kill and ye desire to have. Ye cannot obtain, ye fight in war. But look at this next statement there. Yet ye have not because you ask not. One of the reasons why we don't have our prayers answered is because we don't even pray. We don't even ask. We have not because we ask not. And it goes on to say in verse 3, and you ask. Sometimes you ask and you don't receive because you ask amiss, improperly. What is the improper way there? That you may consume it upon your own lust. You ask selfishly for what you want. Have you ever evaluated your prayer life and thought, what do I normally pray for? Lord, help me with this. Lord, provide for me for this. How much of our prayer life is about me? You see, one of the reasons I think that we don't see God answering prayers, we just don't ask properly. By the way, God is not a genie and prayer the rubbing of a lamp. That's not what it's about at all. We have a relationship with God. There is to be a communing with Him. That takes some time. You just don't walk into the throne of grace and say, God, I got to have this, and give it to Him by lunchtime and be done. That's not a prayer life. That's asking amiss that you may consume it upon your own lust. We need to be careful. So why should we pray? Well, one, it's commanded, it's exemplified by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, commanded by Him. Because we have problems, we have questions, we need the wisdom. These are certainly reasons that we ought to pray. And we ought to pray to commune with God, like Adam did in the Garden of Eden. God made Adam to commune with Him. You remember, though, what happened with Adam? When he sinned, what did he do? He hid himself. Could your lack of prayer, could your lack of communing with God be for the same reason as Adam's? There's sin that slipped into your life and is keeping you from a desire to pray. Some Christians say that I don't pray because I don't have enough time. Research has found that people in the United States of America check their social media account 17 times per day. Some of you have checked it this morning during the service. I would almost bet on it. That's about once per waking hour of the day. And teens, it says in the same research, spend 9 hours every day consuming media. What if we prayed as often as we check social media? What if we prayed as often as we check social media? John Piper put it this way. He says, one of the great uses of Twitter and Facebook will be to prove at the last day that prayerlessness was not from a lack of time. You know very well that praying, the lack of prayer is not about time. It's about importance. We all find time to do what is important to us. You think about it. How many times have you said you didn't have time to do something, but you found time to do what you wanted to do, what was important to you? So again, I ask you the question there. By the what you talk about, what you do, what you pray about, what's important to you? What's important to you? So I'm going to ask you if you'll join me. Will you pray for the following prayer request? Will you pray for God to empower Bill Abbott to preach God's word this next week as he starts our special services? Would you pray for God to give him the messages to bring, and that his spirit would empower him to bring those messages? Secondly, would you pray that God will help me, you, and others to invite and encourage others to come? We have that responsibility. The greatest promotional aspect of any services that we can have here is by your mouth. That's the greatest way. People are much more likely to come if they have a personal invitation than if we put it on the airways and we put it around through the churches and so forth and said, you know, invite people to come that way. Put it in the newspaper. Excuse me. It's by word of mouth that accomplish much more. Thirdly, will you pray for God to prepare my heart for revival? And I say it that way because I want you to understand that I have to pray for my heart first. And I pray for your heart. And I hope you do the same thing as pray for your heart first and then pray for my heart. There's not a one of us in here that do not need reviving when it comes to our walk with the Lord. We need a stirring up spiritually. None of us are walking perfectly. We've all got ways that we can improve, and we need for God to deal with us in those ways. And then fourthly, that God will save souls this coming week because of these special services. That we would see some souls saved. What a joy, encouragement it is to see that. And then last, that God will deal with our personal sin, draw us closer to Him. I don't know about you, but I struggle with temptation. Well, I do know about you also. You're just like me. You struggle with temptation like I do. Because we're human. And we need God to deal with our heart continually. That we may maintain a conscience that is void of offense toward God and toward man. That we would live in such a way that others could see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. That we would not in any way be an embarrassment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that we would not, if the Lord would return today in the next minute, be ashamed to meet Him in His presence. Every head bow, please. Prayer is most important. Will you pray with me? Father, I know that as we have looked at this passage, these passages of Scripture and the importance of prayer and what hinders it, that it's something that we should already know. But Father, always we need reminding. And I pray that you would help us to have been touched this morning, that we would not let this next week go by without spending much time in prayer, both for personal, you're speaking to our hearts and you're reviving as well as others, the salvation of some souls. Lord, people can't be revived, people can't be saved unless they're here. Help us to invite them and to have them under the preaching of your word. Through your Holy Spirit's power. Father, may we see your results. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Number 301
is the hymn in which we're going to sing as we close the service. It's called An Invitation. We invite you to respond.